And we bring in Rick Caro now. Good morning to you, Rick. Happy Sunday.
Hey, so who knows what happened? I apologize. I was upset that you were promoting other guys in the 9 o'clock hour at my expense, so I hung up on you. How's that?
Oh, sorry about that, Rick. But we gotta let everyone know what's coming up later on the program. We want them to tune in not only for the Rick Caro Sports, Business, and Law segment, but also for the topics and discussions that are coming ahead in the program's second and final hour. But let's start with golf, of course, because we are the Golf Exchange, Rick. And this week in Grand Blanc, Michigan, the 51st and final time that General Motors will be sponsoring the Buick Open. And Tiger Woods making an appearance, a two-time winner here at this event in the past, and making an appearance there for the first time in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, by the way, candidly, the way the whole sponsorship withdrawal came down, because this is a time when the rhetoric of a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, probably settled down. You know, Barney Frank, the representative, was making noises about TARP banks taking sponsorship monies and auto industry spending sponsorship monies, and GM pulled away from NASCAR, pulled away from some golf tournaments. And those who kind of ran for the hills were slowly coming back, using the argument, the good one, that says if you're open for business, you better advertise at doing what's best. After 50 years in your home headquarters, and it's not just, you know, throwing money at people, it's also helping your community, would have thought that there would have been a little bit of a different response from General Motors. But you know, heck, I'm not going to be sponsored by Buick anyway. And so they pulled out, and now we've got one of the most dramatic tournaments in years. You know, Tiger says that he can't make up 8 shots in a day. Well, it took him 2. So here he is.
Yeah, you know what, Rick, you made an interesting point, and obviously we're aware that GM and Buick are headquartered in Detroit, just about 10 minutes south of Grand Blanc there in Michigan. But they're deciding to end their sponsorship for the event that's in their hometown. But yeah, they're continuing the sponsorship on the West Coast in San Diego at Torrey Pines. And I might speculate that the Buick Invitational in Torrey Pines is probably the event that Tiger is most... there's a good chance that he will play in more of those in the coming years than the tournament in Michigan. So perhaps that is the reason they're deciding to continue the event in California.
Well, that's good speculation. Good thing about speculation is you can't be proven right or wrong. But the other part of it might be that, you know, your hometown, you deserve to support it more, but it may be more dramatic where you have a whole lot of layoffs facing people in that locality, yet they tune in 1 week out of 52 every year and see a big name of their former employer splashed all over the headlines doing something that they think is not the right expenditure, which, by the way, is not the right answer, but it very well could be. In this economy, who knows what's going on?
Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and this is our sports, business, and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. Rick Caro, the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard, joining us here on the line, the sports professor, as he does each and every week. One more golf story, Rick, before we turn to baseball, and that is publicly traded shares of Adams Golf have gone up nearly 18%. Since Tom Watson took the lead at the British Open. Watson's surprising performance couldn't have come at a better time for Adams, whose quarter one earnings fell 16%. And, of course, Watson plays a bunch of Adams clubs, including a couple of hybrids.
Yeah. Well, and it just shows you how important golf is to companies. And I know Andrew will talk a little bit about the business side of actually doing business on the golf course. But the other thing is, Tom Watson, an incredible person, an incredible story. Again, a little disappointed also, because last week in this slot, I was hoping that he would have done some of the national shows. Last week, coming back after 2 weeks at the senior and then the regular open, and this would be the first time that America has a chance to see him at the talk shows, maybe in New York. Didn't happen. But Tom Watson, I'm afraid, will be viewed as the author of one of the greatest almost stories and almost and near misses stories. It still drove Adams, but boy, what it could have been.
Rick, isn't that a great example of the old cliche, strike while the iron is hot? I mean, the Tom Watson story really isn't as hot. There's not much buzz around it anymore. I think a big reason for that is Tiger Woods is back in the mix, playing again on the PGA Tour this week, so I think maybe Tiger stole a little bit of that thunder from the British Open, and it has been a few weeks.
Well, it's only been 2. So, you know, first you're right about Tiger. That's always the story. And then you turn to the Senior Open and you see Greg Norman. You don't see Tom Watson's name up there. Last week he played gallantly, but he wasn't in the top 3 or 4 groups ending. So he's had a couple of weeks where he hasn't been at the top. And also, the talk shows are still 2,000 miles away the week after the Open. And I'm afraid last week he became old news, not in terms of one of the biggest stories ever for those of us in the industry, but I'm afraid 6 months from now it's an asterisk.
Rick, a couple of baseball stories here locally. First of all, the hometown Florida Marlins finally broke ground on their new $500 million ballpark. Weren't we hearing estimations of like $350 million last year? But I guess the price has escalated here over the last 12 months. Scheduled to open in time for the 2012 season. Apparently, about 5,000 people attended the groundbreaking ceremony, including Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig.
Yeah, you know, was it 3 years ago? You can get a steak for $12.95, and now you get it for $18. So, you know, maybe it's the same kind of analogy. You don't get a couple of dugouts and some mediocre left-handed relief pitchers with that steak, but it's the same kind of theory. Listen, I would take the public-private partnership at $500 million because it still will do a whole lot for that area, as opposed to yet another 20 years of talk. And it finally got done. You know, we started the Sports Authority in the late '70s with visions of new facilities for a whole bunch of different teams. And now I think we were in the situation of, well, you know, what's next? I guess next is the major renovations that Steve Ross and the Dolphins are doing for Landshark Stadium in order to get future Super Bowls. But it is an ongoing rotation. But I think the final big stadium process is over, at least politically now, for a little while. Now we look at the details of construction and look forward to opening.
Rick, a bittersweet story for me. Actually, it's more bitter than sweet, but as a youngster in the early 80s, at the age of 6, 7, 8 years old, going to Fort Lauderdale Stadium to watch spring training baseball, to watch my team, the New York Yankees, play, and now apparently Fort Lauderdale Stadium, for the first time in over 40 years since its inception in the early 60s, will be without spring training baseball in 2010, as the Baltimore Orioles have agreed to relocate their spring facility to Sarasota beginning next season.
Well, I'll trump your bittersweet and show how old I am. So remember when the Orioles would train at what used to be Bobby Maduro? Now it's nothing, but even before that, it was the old Miami Stadium down near Jackson Memorial Hospital, way down in downtown Miami, and I would remember going to see the Cal Ripkins of the world and Mark Belanger and Brooks Robinson those Orioles, who were good Orioles and probably one of the best set of teams that baseball had, trained down in Miami. And now, as we know, the closest teams to Southeast Florida Major League Baseball spring training are the Cardinals and the Marlins, who are in Jupiter, which, you know, is 87 miles, as some of the articles pointed out, north of Miami. So things change, and Sarasota did a good deal for the Orioles. The Orioles have looked long and hard all over Florida for a permanent home. At the end of the day, what they did is they located close to their minor league and major league complexes, which Fort Lauderdale Stadium itself did not allow. So, unfortunately, it's not great for Lauderdale, but it's probably better for the Orioles.
Yeah, Rick, I forget that there are native Floridians here still down here older than me. There's so many transplants down here that I think I'm one of the few, but I'm a native Floridian from the 80s. You're a native Floridian from the 60s. So
even before, so Methuselah. But, you know, I can still run faster, hit the ball farther, and play better golf than you can, pal, so don't forget it.
All right. I guess we'll have to we'll take that as a truism, although I'm not sure the validity of all of that last statement. Now, I would expect the Fort Lauderdale Stadium to be demolished. It's so antiquated. It's almost 50 years old. I can't see another Major League Baseball team coming here to play their baseball at the Fort Lauderdale Stadium, although perhaps they'll just keep it as a public facility where maybe high school teams can play.
Yeah, well, that's the whole Lockhart next to it. Remember, that had some history growing up in South Florida, as you did with the old Strikers and the George Best and Canalia and Pele days in the 70s. But I think there were issues regarding the FAA and the landing pattern there by Executive Airport. And I remember working with the Orioles 15 years ago, and they were really trying as hard as they could to give Lauderdale the benefit of the doubt to try to get that done. And it was not only a city thing and a county thing, but the federal government regarding that FAA as well. That becomes very difficult. So future is pretty uncertain for that complex.
My father played semi-pro football in the early 60s for the old Fort Lauderdale Tigers at Lockhart Stadium there in Fort Lauderdale.
So that's where you got your athletic ability. That's very interesting. I didn't realize that, because the way you play when I see you, it's hard to imagine that there was some athletic genes in that.
It's hard to turn these bow-legged legs around for a golf swing. It's very difficult. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and joined on the line by the sports professor, Rick Caro. It's our sports, business, and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And one last story here, Rick, before I let you go. Lance Armstrong will be back and perhaps better than ever next year at the 2010 Tour de France, and he was a teammate this year of the eventual winner, Alberto Contador. Not the case next year. Lance will have his own team, and it'll be sponsored by Radio Shack.
Cool for Lance. He enjoys the sport. He doesn't have to win. You know, the Tom Watson, Lance Armstrong stories had some really strong parallels. I know we don't have a lot of time on this, but it's good for Versus. 1,000% increase in their ratings. And over the next couple of weeks, I think maybe even next week, got kind of an interesting thing to talk about Versus and a primetime sports business show that's going to start at the end of August that I'm hosting. So we'll get into that discussion, too, and you may even be on for the South Florida perspective. So we've got a lot to talk about, and maybe we talk about that next week.
That sounds good. That sounds good, Rick. Nice tease there. News coming in the coming weeks of a new sports business show on Versus that will be hosted by our good friend, the sports professor, Rick Caro. He joins us each and every week. Of course, you can watch him each and every week on CNN and ESPN. He's the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. You can find his weekly blog and podcast at msn.foxsports.com and tune in every Sunday morning right around this time to hear him on Golf Exchange with us. Rick, have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
And say hi to Rooney. Tell him I miss him.
I will. He's vying for a top 20 in today's final round of the Palm Beach County Amateur.
I looked at the paper. There must be a typo. I didn't see his name.
He's all the way down towards the bottom, but he did make the cut by a stroke. So
congratulations to him. Maybe I'll go out and root for him. I'm going to go watch grass grow.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Bye.